Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to today's telephone conference of Allianz SE with the publication of the financial results of the first quarter 2018. For your information, this conference will be recorded. At this point, I would like to hand over to Thomas Atkins.
Good morning and welcome also from my side to our quarterly media conference. I'm responsible for financial communication. My name is Thomas Atkins, and our CFO, Giulio Terzariol, will first of all guide you through our results of the first quarter and then also let you know about the progress we've made. Following that, you will then have the opportunity to ask your questions. With this, I would like to hand over to Mr. Terzariol.
Well, thank you, Mr. Atkins. Good morning. I'm glad to be able to present to you the results of the first quarter, and I would like to start on page three. We had a good start into the year 2018. Revenues grew by 4.9%. All segments contributed to this result. The operating result fell by 176 million, -6%. Reason for that, three effects. First of all, the foreign exchange effect with a negative effect of around 140 million, and then also a positive one-off effect that we had in the previous year of 115 million, which we didn't have this year. Adjusted for these two results, we would have had a growth rate of 4%. Shareholders' net income grew by close to 7%. We had lower restructuring burdens and a better new business ratio. On page five, we show our Solvency II ratio and our shareholders' equity. Shareholders' equity went down by 2.3 billion, driven by rising interest rates, which led to lower unrealized gains. In addition to this, we had some foreign exchange effects, 0.4 billion euros. We had the share buyback program to the tune of 1.5 billion euros. That was for the timeframe of January to March. Then we also had the effect of the Euler Hermes transaction. Positive, on the other hand, we had 1.9 billion in net income that flew into this, and the solvency ratio went down 4 percentage points. I come back to this topic in a few minutes. When we look at sensitivities, there hasn't been that much of a change, with the only exception being the interest rate sensitivity for plus 50 basis points that went up. At the beginning of the year, we had -11%, and now we're at -7% for the shock above and the downward, and for the upward shock, we also had a positive development because the sensitivities for interest rates downward have been reduced, and also in the upward development, we've seen an improvement. On page seven, you can see the effects of regulatory changes that had an effect on the solvency ratio. That was the introduction of transferability restrictions in AZ Life in the U.S., and those were also smaller model changes that had an effect. These three factors contributed one-third to the -4 percentage points that we saw. Operating results contributed 10% to the solvency ratio. That's an amount before tax and dividend, and after that, the contribution was 5%, and that was slightly above our expectations. The effect of market changes, those were above all foreign exchange rate effects, the consequences of the market development after tax. Other than that, was minimal. When we look at the capital management, you see an amount of -2.1%, and that consists of 1 billion for dividend payments and 1 billion stems from the transactions regarding Euler Hermes and OLB. If we look at tax and other, the amount of -1 billion, that was tax-driven.
almost completely. So overall, our solvency ratio is at 225%, and this is still a very good position. So we are really satisfied with our financial position in this regard. On page 9, we take a look at our property and casualty segment. Internal growth was 4.9%, and that stemmed from a positive volume effect of 3.7% and a positive price effect, which contributed 1.2% to these 4.9. But in the volume effects, we have to take into account the volatility at AGCS. If we adjust for this volatility, the volume effect would have been 2.5% and the growth rate then at 3.5%, which is nevertheless still an excellent growth rate. You can also see that in the tariff segment we currently have, the situation has been stabilized or improved. We have a positive development. And now looking at the individual OEs, I would like to highlight Allianz Germany with a growth rate of 4.4%. In Spain, we also have a good growth rate of 5.5%. And then at the very bottom, you can see Allianz Partners and Credit Insurance, both also with growth rates of close to 5%. There are only two OEs which had a negative growth development. On the one hand side, that's United Kingdom, but that is an accounting change effect. Adjusted for that accounting change effect, we would have had a growth rate of plus 0.3%. And in Italy, we have minus 0.3%, but the situation has clearly improved compared to what we saw in 2017. So we're definitely moving into the right direction in Italy as well. Page 11 shows the development of the operating profit. Operating profit has remained more or less flat. The underwriting result improved by 80 million. That was due to a lower combined ratio. And the investment result, on the other hand, was reduced by close to 60 million. So the combined ratio has improved, as I've just mentioned, an improvement of 80 basis points, and that in spite of a higher impact from natural catastrophes. The burden from natural catastrophes was 2.6% compared to 1.1% in the previous year's quarter. You can also see the positive development in runoff ratio. We had a higher runoff ratio, 3.2, compared to 2.8% in the previous year. You have to take into account here that in the previous year we had the burn from OB, adjusted for that, the development would have remained more or less stable or even decreased a little bit. Now, if we adjust the combined ratio for net cat impacts, major claims, and the runoff ratio, then we've seen an improvement of 1.1 percentage points in our combined ratio. So that is certainly a good tendency. The question is always whether we can reach the 94% by the end of the year or not. And I'm highly confident that we can reach, these 94%. The natural catastrophes have to remain on an average level for this, but I'm quite optimistic, and I can give you a reason for this. Our combined ratio in the first quarter was at 94.8. The burden from net cats was at 2.6. We would rather expect the burden of 2.1%. So if we adjust for this delta, the combined ratio would have come down to 94.4, and then usually the runoff result is a little higher until the end of the year compared to what we have in the first quarter, and that should bring us down to 94% overall. And we also have to take into account that in the winter the conditions are always a bit more difficult, and that also means that the basic claims ratio is a little higher in the first quarter than over the rest of the year. So in view of all these facts, I would like to convey the feeling to you that we're well on the way towards the combined ratio of 94%. Page 13 shows operating profit and combined ratios of the large OEs. What stands out here? Well,
Allianz Germany with a combined ratio of 100.9%, which is due to the natural catastrophes and major claims. And if we adjust for these major claims and natural catastrophes, we would be in the range of 93 to 94%. In France, we've also seen a slight worsening that was due to a lower runoff result, but overall the development of business in France was positive, and then you can see a great combined ratios in Italy, in Eastern Europe, and in Spain. We've also seen the normalization of results in Australia and the UK, and in Latin America, we've continued to take great strides ahead into the right direction. In Turkey, we've seen a worsening that was due to a regulatory change. The regulatory change was introduced in the second quarter of 2017, and that's why you can see this development. But overall, we are also satisfied with our results in Turkey. That brings me to page 15, where we show our investment results in P&C, which decreased by 60 million, one reason being foreign exchange rates, 35 million of effect, and then a lower current yield, 2 basis points reduced. And if we analyze for this, we would have 8 basis points, and that would be in line with our expectations due to the low interest rate environment. We've already included this in our outlooks, and we've expected this kind of a development. Now, page 17, here you can see our life health segment. First of all, we've made good progress in our new business mix. We have a share of 83% of preferred products, and just to remind you, 5 years ago, I only had a share of less than 50%. So within 5 years, we've basically doubled the share of these products, and the 83% in the first quarter are even above our goal of 80% for the year. In the first quarter, we always have a higher production of health insurance products and life insurance products. So for the end of the year, we expect to come down to 80%, but we feel very well about the development that we have here. Now, if we adjust figures for foreign exchange rate effect, we would have had a growth rate of 5.4. Overall, we have good growth rates in almost all countries, and I would like to highlight Allianz Life in Germany here with plus 9.9% and an excellent quality of business. In France, we've also seen great development in Asia Pacific. The growth rate was excellent. In the US, minus 9.3%, but adjusted for foreign exchange rate effects, we would have seen growth of 4%. The only major exception is Italy here with a minus of 12%, and the reason for that is the production of unit-linked insurances was extremely high in the previous year, but overall the growth and business mix picture in life health is really good. Now page 19 shows you the development of our operating profit that went down minus 86 million or minus 7.4%. Reason for that being, first of all, foreign exchange effects to the tune of around 40 million euros. And then we also had difficult market conditions in the United States compared to the very favorable conditions we had in 2017. That development is especially reflected under guaranteed savings and annuities, where we had a decline of operating profit of 74 million euros. That can all be triggered, traced back to the United States and the business there. With an operating profit of 1.1 billion, we're well on track to reach our outlook of 4.2 for the overall year. That's the important message, and the operating profit development is good, and reflects or is in line with our expectations. Page 21, the value of new business went up 8%. Now looking at the growth rate of adjusted for foreign exchange effects, we would have seen a growth rate of 13%, driven on the one hand side by the higher production, but on the other side also by the improved margin. The new business margin improved by 20 basis points. Looking at the OEs, I would like to focus on the first three in this table. So in new business value, you can see that Allianz Germany increased its value of new business by 30%, a good development, and those were due to growing premiums and an increased business new business margin. In the US and Asia Pacific, on the other hand, you see a decline of value of new business, but adjusted for foreign exchange effects, we would have stayed flat. On the right-hand side, you see the operating profit development, positive development in Germany and in Asia. In the US, you see a decline of close to 50%, and that's due to the fact that in the previous year, as I said, market conditions were excellent, and the operating profit in 2017 was definitely above our expectations. On the other hand, conditions this year were more difficult, and that's why the operating profit remained a little under our expectations. So a largely high volatility, but nevertheless, the development in the United States has remained pretty stable. Page 23 shows the margin from our investments at 23 basis points. It was pretty much on the previous year's level. The 23 basis points, if we analyze them, that amounts to 82, and that is in line with our expectations and now net harvesting and other, so the realized gains and losses went down significantly from 26 to 2 basis points, but in line with this also we had lower profit sharing, and that led to a stabilizing of the investment margin. So also in this sense, it's the development we would have expected, and we remain confident that we can reach the outlook of 4.2 billion euros by the end of the year for our life health business. Page 25, now coming to the asset management segment. Total assets under management remained more or less flat. The net inflows of 21 billion were offset by foreign exchange effects and market changes, or even overcompensated the market changes. Those were both the development of equity funds, the equity markets in general declined a bit, and then also the effect of the growing interest rates. But the operating development in the sense of net inflows was positive for the first quarter. Page 27 shows that operating profit remained flat. If we adjust the figures for foreign exchange rate effects, we have an internal growth of 9%, and that can be traced back, especially to PIMCO. The margin, and that's an important figure for us, remained stable at PIMCO, and for AGI, it even improved. So overall, of the past quarters, we've seen some stability of this key figure, which reflects the quality of our business. Page 29, now operating profit grew by 4.1%, or adjusted for foreign exchange effects by 16%. Higher income and an improved cost income ratio were the drivers for the positive development of the operating profit. Now looking into the individual companies, we can see an improvement at PIMCO, an improvement of 8%, over 8%, would have been 24% adjusted for foreign exchange effects. And with AGI, we've seen a decline, and that is due to lower performance fees. Now we'll come to our segment corporate and others, page 31. Here we see a reduction of operating profit of 100 50 million, driven above all by the fact that we didn't have a one-off effect we had in the previous year, that is reflected in the holding and treasury segment. So that, in addition to this, there was a reduction in banking, and that was due to the deconsolidation of the Oldenburgische Landesbank. Coming to page 33, here you see the overview of the non-operating positions. In the first quarter, we had lower restructuring expenses or charges as in the previous year, and the tax rate at 24% was clearly below the previous year's level. A reason for this, the U.S. tax reform, which helped us with 3 percentage points, but there was also a certain degree of tax-exempt revenues, which we recognized in the first quarter. Coming to our expectations for the tax rate, we have given the guidance of 26-28% for the end of the year. And for the end of the year, I would expect us to reach 26% and potentially could even be under 26%. But I would now consider 26% to be a realistic development. Now coming to the last page, page 35, the overview of the KPIs of our renewal agenda. We're well on track in this regard, and we're confident that we can reach the goals of our renewal agenda. And for the quarter, the summary is as follows. We had a good quarter. We had a good start into the year 2018. We're well on track to reach our goals for 2018, but in some areas we know that there's still quite a bit of work ahead for us. And with this, I would come to the end of my presentation, and I'm now looking forward to your questions. Thank you very much, Mr. Tesario. We're now looking forward to your questions, and you will now get the instructions on how to ask questions. Yeah, thank you. In case you have a question, please press the star key and 1 on your keypad. Please make sure that you've deactivated the mute function so that your signal can reach our devices. In case you feel that your question has already been answered, you can withdraw it by pressing star 2. So once again, please press asterisk or star 1 to ask a question, and we'll now wait for a short moment that all participants can signal their questions.
So we take the first question from Michael Dreming from Börsen-Zeitung. Yes, good morning, Mr. Tesario. Good morning, Mr. Atkins. I have 3 questions altogether. First of all, for the exchange rate effect and then the 3-year targets and also the share buyback. So the FX exchange effects were quite strong in the first quarter. What do you expect in the further course of the year in light of the exchange rates that have changed, and also for the 3-year targets, you're saying that you're going to be close to the targets, and where would you say are the biggest risks from your perspective? And the combined ratio mechanics, you have explained that. But do you have buffers just in case that net cats would go beyond 2.1 or 2.2%? Further to the share buyback, the last share buyback has been completed last time. You announced that the solvency rate was 227%, now it's 225%. So that's above the limit of 220% that you set for reserve. The message at the balance sheet pro conference, you don't want to go beyond, you said, but you're now going beyond the 220%. That's why my question. Can you explain any rule after which this topic will be dealt with chronologically by the management? Will this be checked again after half a year or quarterly? So any guidance to assess externally when this topic might be coming up onto the agenda again? Yes, thank you very much for your question. So let me start with the FX exchange effects, and also in the course of 2018 and the further course of 2018, we would expect that we would have a burden from FX exchange rates. So In the first quarter, this burden was even higher than for the rest of the year. So in the first quarter 2017, the US dollar was particularly strong. And then over the course of the year, it weakened a bit. So in the last quarter, you will see the biggest deviation, but it's going to balance out, but it's going to stay like that for the next two quarters. And in the fourth quarter 2018, I would expect that we would not have any stronger burden from that, from FX exchange, if the exchange rate stays like that. Altogether at the year end, you might have a burden of FX exchange rates amounting to 300 million compared to the previous period. 300 million, exactly. And which includes everything, also a forecast of 11.1. That means when we posted our outlook for 2018, we knew that the FX exchange rates were weak. Just for you to know, we expected an exchange US dollar euro of 1.22. That was our calculation. Then the second question was, what is my opinion on target achievement with regard to the renewal agenda? And you also mentioned the combined ratio. I feel comfortable with the combined ratio, so we're doing fine for the 94%. We don't know, of course, when we have larger net caps, then the 9 would make it more difficult for the 94%, but this is being assumed. Can we compensate? Yes, we could compensate for that, but the topic for me is to reach 94%, that is sustainable. Yes, of course, we can always achieve 94%, but the topic is more that we have a sustainable 94%, and we're well on track in this respect. So I don't feel uneasy with regard to our ambitions for 2018. And I just want to point out that the 13% ROI cannot be reached completely. So we will be getting close to the 13% ROI, but slightly below, yes. And so either we would have a target achievement, but it would be close to the ROE. And also, share buyback and our solvency rate is 125%. And that leads me automatically to the question, what does that mean for the buyback? You know, the entire solvency ratio issue can be put into perspective. And we're going to talk about that topic in November. So we have a range that covers a solvency range of 280 to 220 for the solvency ratio. I think the lowest limit is very important because that's the protection line for the dividend payment, for the strength of the group, and going upward, I would see things differently. And we also have to consider our solvency rate is at 225, but the market conditions have been quite favorable, and the share markets are still quite high. The credit spreads are very low, and so that's why you will always have to consider the situation. And having said that, what is important so that investors and you would get the right feeling whether we're moving in a capital-efficient way. So that's the return on equity and based on IFRS, and as long as we're still around 13%, then this would be a very good return on equity. So that's why one shouldn't be worried that we behave capital efficiently. And you also asked for the chronological order. Well, let me put it like this. Of course, you're asking every quarter, that's why it's no question. We have no problems. We think of a rhythm of a year, but also we will look at the options and we keep options open. Generally speaking, I would say, so the rhythm at the end of the year, but I would not set an expectation. We would like to talk about buybacks at the end of the year. Wonderful. Thank you very much, Mr. Tesorio. Thank you very much. Now, next question comes from Alexander Hübner from Reuters. Yes, good morning. Some of my questions have been clarified already. Let me just check. Let me just check. Well, out of the 220 million for Frederike, so how much of that did Allianz have to pay, or is that the net amount after deduction of reinsurance? And the second question I have, Mr. Bater said last week that that the growth rates in P&C don't give that level of satisfaction, and that something needs to be done. When and where would you be able to remedy these weak points in the quarter? Where could you read these weak points on the quarterly figures? And when can we expect that the planned measures would be expressed in the figures? On the cost side, of course. Regarding the question of Frederike, the 220 million, of course, that is on group level, and the 220, out of that, 150 to 170, 150 million are at Allianz Deutschland, and the remainder goes to Allianz SE in reinsurance. But the 220 million is the burden after the reinsurance. And as regards the growth rate in the first quarter, generally was good. So also for the volatility, we were adjusting the figures for HCS. The growth rate was well above 3%. So we can see that the measures take effect. The topic is this growth rate should be sustainable. That's what we want to have, and we cannot say that this isn't a sustainable growth rate. Although, if we want to see it like that, during the past 3 to 4 years, we've had a growth rate between 2 and 3%. So the topic is of how can we move forward with that topic, and we're focusing very much on growth in all units. That applies to Germany, for example, and we also want to go back on growth track in Italy, and that definitely applies to our Allianz partners. And the topic is how we can combine growth rate with good profitability. But generally speaking, the course in the first quarter is rather an indication for us moving into the right direction. Does that include any restructuring expenses for this year for the P&C insurance? Anything that should be expected in this respect? Well, as relates to the cost ratio, that's important when we talk about productivity gains. And we rather think towards sustainable productivity gains. We don't really think in a crash program. The assumption that we take is rather continuous in order to improve productivity continuously. During the course of the year 2018, we expect more restructuring expenses than we had in the first quarter. But we will announce the steps that we take in more detail at the right point of time. Okay. Thank you very much. Our next question from Tom Sins from Reuters. Good morning. I have a question about Iran. Have you changed your insurance policy for Iran, or do you want to write new business for Iran? So for the topic of Iran, well, I mean, for years, all of our based on compliance, they have to ask for an approval. Whatever they would like to write, that would go through the compliance department first before transactions. That's why we are based on the developments that we see there. Our compliance regulations will be adapted. Of course, we will do the business with Iran, but it goes through the compliance function. So you haven't made any changes in the Iran policy during the past few weeks? Well, we're reviewing that and we're checking that, and if needed, then we will adapt the rules for compliance. Thank you very much. Let's move to our next question, Friederike Krieger from Süddeutsche Zeitung. Further to Iran, how much business do you have there at the moment? And something different, Great Britain, your share in the Liverpool Victoria you bought, and there's a majority share. And the Insurance Post reported yesterday that Liverpool Victoria is also doing retail business, and so that they took over the renewal in Great Britain. Can you say something with regard to Iran? I don't know the figures at the moment in Iran, but they are minor. They're not significant. That's definitely no transaction volume that is worthwhile mentioning. So we can still deliver the figures, but it's really minimal. And the question for Liverpool, Victoria, yes, we said when we announced the transaction that we would, the rights for the persons in retail business will be given, will be passed over to LV, and that's why we would get the rights for the retail business. That was part of our transaction. And the purpose of this, that we are stronger in Allianz UK in, commercial business, we can bundle these two businesses and can create synergies. So that's where we can really play out our strengths. On the other hand, Liverpool Victoria is stronger in retail business, and they can also create book value for us and for the shareholders. Thank you very much. Just to recap, please press star 1 in order to ask a question. Matthias Kampf from Wirtschaftswoche. Our next question, please. Yes, good morning, Mr. Tesario. One more question about the U.S. business. We heard about more difficult market conditions that you talked about. Can you become a bit more concrete? What is that? Is that only FX exchange, or has something changed in the politics there? The FX issue also played a role in U.S. in Allianz Life, but I would say that was not the key role. It was not significant. The topic in the U.S. is the following: in the last year, volatility was very low, and if you have low volatility in the U.S., then the costs for hedging the VA business are very low. And last year was the VIX. And that the indices in the U.S. were 19% for the entire year and for the first quarter, which is very low. This year, we have a high volatility that we saw, and the DIX was 30 to 40%. That means the costs for hedging in the VA was higher. And in the previous year, we also have a positive basic risk. This year, the basic risk was rather towards zero. So but there are numerous effects that were rather positive in the previous year, whereas this year they played against us. They were rather detrimental. But if you ask me, generally speaking, how I would foresee the further course in the U.S., I'm very positive. And, I mean, I come from Allianz Life, and I spent 9 years there. That's why I do know the situation over there. That's why I would expect that, generally speaking, we would see a normalization within months and quarters to come. It's volatility, yes, but it's important. If you see the operating earnings of first quarter 2017, that was 325 million euros and it's 1.2 billion euros per annum. That is definitely the normal run rate for the operating profit of Allianz Life. So you can say this is rather a normalization versus the previous year, and this year was a bit more difficult. Okay, thank you very much. Thank you very much.
We have a question now from Julie Eid from Bloomberg. Please go ahead.
Euros benefit from U.S. Lower U.S. corporate tax.
Hey, Julie.
Would you? Yes.
Julie, we couldn't hear the first part of your question. Could you repeat it, please? Just start from the top.
Okay, hi. Yes, yes. So you said you would see a $300 million benefit from lower U.S. corporate tax. Would you revise that higher or lower for this year? And the second question is, again, on Liverpool Victoria, if you could repeat what you said, because we missed it. It was lost in translation, I think. Thanks.
Okay. So let's start from the impact of the tax reform in the U.S. So we said at the beginning of the year that we expect about €300 million of impact. If you look at the first quarter, we had €85 million. So if you take 85 times 4, it's pretty much in line with the guidance that we gave at the beginning of the year. So from that point of view, I would say that €300 million is still the right guidance for the impact of the U.S. tax reform. With respect to the LV transaction in the UK, when we did the deal last year, we also said that in the course of 2018, we are going to transfer the rights of our private business, retail business, to Liverpool Victoria, and on the other side, we are going to get the rights for the commercial business. The reason for this swap is our strength in the UK is on commercial lines, and so we are putting together all the commercial lines activities, and we can play on our strengths there. On the other side, the strength of Liverpool Victoria is more on the retail business, so they are pulling together their business with our business, and then we can create synergies. But that's nothing new. This is something that was part of the deal that we signed off last year. That's clear
right.
Now?
Yeah. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. We will now take a question.
So Roman, haben wir noch eine Frage? Ich glaube, Jean-Philippe Lacour hat eine Frage von...
Jean-Philippe Lacour from ISP. Yes, hello. I would like to ask on restructuring expenses. Last year, you said €477 million, that was seen, that we can see in the P&L. And in the first quarter, it was €120 million. That is one quarter of that. Could we proceed from the assumption that it's going to be around half billion of expenses regarding restructuring expenses? And you also said that in the course of the year they're going to be given more details, but can you say when and what exactly do you want to tell us on this topic? Thank you. Sure. Last year, the restructuring expenses were €450 million, roughly. For this year, we expect less than €450 million. Giving you a range, I would say, I'm giving a bigger range, between €100 and €300 million. So that would be the expectation. And as always in this topic, we want to deliver the figures and the explanations that we have made the decisions. But it's important for you to know that the expectation is lower than in the previous year, and then I would say between 100 and 100 and 300 million. Yeah, no, 120, and in the first quarter 2017, I was wrong. Yeah, sure. Yeah, sorry, I missed. So between 100 and, for the entire Allianz Group, that would be the your guidance, yeah. And that's a larger range, but you've can imagine where we're going to be. Oh yeah, very much. Thank you. Any further questions? I don't see any. We don't see any further questions. So I would pass back the floor to you. All right. Then, ladies and gentlemen, we thank you for your participation and I wish you a good start into the day. Thank you very much. Goodbye.
Ladies and gentlemen, this ends today's press conference. We would kindly like to thank you for your participation and wish you a great day. Thank you.